Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Hey everyone, what about you put this up here? All right, it's on. I think I have everything, I'm set. Oh, one more thing. Thanks so much for having me, Robert and Matt. It's a privilege to get up here and speak about the Word of God. Slightly nervous just because I haven't done this in a year and a half, but bear with me, I'll go for it. We'll see how it goes. So today we are looking at faith and works, how they relate. Specifically the question, does being saved by faith mean that we can do whatever we want? And spoiler alert, I will say, no, we can't, but we'll get there. So being saved by faith does not mean that we can do whatever it is that we want. And to unpack this a bit more, as Robert showed, we're gonna be looking at James 2, verses 14 to 26. And we're gonna be taking more of a bird's eye view because there's a lot of verses and I only have a short amount of time. So if I start speaking faster, that's why. we're just gonna go ahead and dive into it and we can look at even just the first verse where James just really kicks off with it. And he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" Now, before we do that, I'm going to set my timer so that I don't forget. There we go. So timer officially starts now. He's asking us a question. And basically he's saying, can we be saved apart from works? Which is a very controversial question because it seems like James is questioning whether or not faith is the basis of our salvation, which, of course, this is the pillar of the Christian faith. But he's not trying to refute that. When you look at this section of Scripture as a whole, it really does become clear that James isn't talking about our faith as in how it relates to our salvation, but he is more concerned with our faith as it's being lived out in our day-to-day lives. And he wants us to see that faith, if it really does exist within us, it should lead to an outward expression, or as he likes to call it, it should lead to works. Since faith is not a tangible in itself, the only real way faith can be verified is by seeing it in action. Sure, we can claim to have faith, but James rightly questions whether a faith that is never seen is really the kind of faith that can save us. So I have a little graphic of what this looks like. So basically, he's making the argument that faith plus works is a demonstration. It shows that our faith is actually there. And then faith without works. There's really nothing on display there. We can't really see it. So he then goes on to give us a picture of what that looks like. And this is kind of a hyperbolic illustration, but he says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily in food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them things they need for the body, what good is that?" So it's a very practical example where we see someone who's in need, and it's implied that actually that we have the means to meet their needs, but we choose to just pass them by. We choose not to engage with it, and we simply dismiss them and maybe offer an empty blessing or an empty prayer, basically just saying, "Okay, I've done my piece," without really doing anything at all, and then walking away from them. Now, I'm not saying that we should never bless, encourage, or pray for people. Of course, we should be doing that. And there's actually times in our lives when we are called to pray for people, but there's really nothing we can do about those circumstances. We should still be open and willing to do that. But he's really making the case for if we have means to do something in that circumstance, that we should. And it's really just an extreme example to get us to basically see the silliness of it. that, you know, as I said, if we have the means to help others, especially fellow Christians, because that's where he says, you know, brother and sister, then we should be taking the blessings that God has given to us and graciously extending them to others. And so James wants us to be generous with what we have, with our time, and what we do to help others around us. That's what he's going to be hammering in throughout this whole section of scripture. But he goes on, and there we go, to say, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And James just kind of goes on in verse 17 to bring his main point home, saying, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so kind of the analogy I want to show for that is having a battery. I have one with me as well too, power banks. I'm sure most of us have one of these somewhere. But he's saying faith without works is dead. So it's basically like having a battery. But if this battery doesn't have a charge, what good is it? It can't really do what we need it to do. It can't power my phone. It can't power my tablet. It's just basically junk. Like, it can't do anything. But if we take that faith and we charge it, that's what the little graphic is on top. I didn't really know how to convey that, but yeah. So if we charge it, if we add works to our faith, then suddenly this becomes very useful. It becomes something that I can charge my phone, charge my laptop, maybe not my laptop with this one, but yeah, it can charge things around us. It becomes practical. In other words, it becomes alive. It becomes something that can be useful. And it's able to get the job done, essentially. And you can actually see it working when I plug a cord into it and I plug it into my phone. It makes a little doot-doot noise. And I know that it's charging. I can see that it's charging. And so that's what James really wants us to see with our faith and works. As they're coupled together, it becomes useful. It becomes alive. It becomes evident to those around us that our faith is indeed working itself out, and it is true. And so just even going back to the last section, he begins to give an example, and he shows us how faith and works are inseparable. And he says, but if someone says to you, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So essentially he's saying a person says, hey, you have faith, and that's okay. I'm not gonna have any part of that. I am just gonna choose to focus on works. And you know, that's okay as well. But James says, that's ridiculous. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so James wants us to see that the Christian faith isn't about merely just intellectual assent. It's not just about knowing information about God. Our faith is about taking that knowledge of God, letting it transform us and work within us. And then once we are changed by it, we can then seek out opportunities to be agents of change in our families, in our friend groups, in our churches, in our communities, ultimately to the ends of the earth. And so what he wants to show us by that is that our faith and our works, they go hand in hand. You can't say you have one, you can't, or without the other. And he really is just wanting to drill that into our heads. And he then gives another example of what this looks like. And he shows us Abraham and Rahab. For the sake of time, I'm just gonna focus on one. I'm gonna focus on Abraham, but I'll read its section. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac at the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So James gives us an example of what faith and works looks like living out in a person's life. And of course, in this section, he's talking about Abraham. So that takes us all the way back to Genesis 22. If you don't know the story, I'll recap it for us real quick. It's a famous passage where Abraham is asked to go to a mountain and offer a sacrifice. And so Abraham takes wood, and he also takes his son Isaac with him, and they go make the journey to this mountain to offer a sacrifice. However, on the journey, they don't come across anything that they can use to make sacrifice. And so Abraham, acting out of obedience, is willing to offer up his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And of course, if you know the story, Abraham actually goes to do it, but he's stopped by an angel. And then after that, they find a ram that they're able to use as a sacrifice instead. Now, Abraham, he is like fully willing to do this. In his mind, it was as good as done. Or as James put it, his faith was completed by his works. This was something that he was going to do. So he was willing to take his faith, couple it with the works, even of offering his son Isaac on the altar. Of course, didn't go through, but nonetheless, as I said, in his heart, the act was already committed. And so because of that, it's counted to him, as he says, as righteousness. Let me see where I'm at. Okay. I'm so worried about time, so we'll see. Okay, I think I have time to get all of this done, so we'll push on through. And then verse 24, possibly problematic verse for a lot of people, where it says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And I say that it can be problematic because if you know your Bibles, you read this and you think, you see that a person can be justified by works and not by faith alone. It seems like he's directly contradicting Paul in Galatians 2, verse 16, because in that verse, Paul says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So it seems like they're saying completely opposite things. And a lot of people like to use this verse as an example of show the New Testament is contradictory to itself. Actually, even a lot of scholars discredit it. Famously, Martin Luther called this epistle of straw. That's the word. Some people even wanted it removed from the canon. So they wanted it removed from the New Testament. Not only because there's other things, but because of time, we won't go into it. How do we reconcile this? How do we reconcile James saying that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, and then Paul seemingly saying the opposite in Galatians? I would say that actually both of them are right in what they say. But it all comes down to context, who they were writing to. When they're writing these letters, they're primary concern is addressing specific issues, specific context, specific people. And so they all have a different audience. And so for Paul is writing to Jewish Christians who are being pressured by men from Jerusalem to go back to keeping old traditions, old Jewish traditions. And so Paul, in his letter of Galatians, is saying to them, there is no need to go back to the works of the law, to keeping these old traditions, because you are justified by Christ alone. And James, in his context, he's also writing to Jewish Christians, but he was writing to Christians who are being pressured to just do the bare minimum in their faith. And so James is actually encouraging them to press forward in their faith and to let works become evident in their lives and to those around them so that they could be good examples of living as Jewish Christians in the area. So this verse actually all just comes down to context. And it's not that James wants to overthrow the doctrine of being saved by faith in Jesus. Like, he fully agrees with that. He's just simply speaking to people in a different context at different stages in their lives. And so because of that, I could say that Galatians and James, they actually go hand in hand. Let's see where we're at. All right. So what does this mean for us here today? Going back to the original question, does being saved by faith mean that we can do whatever we want? Well, James would say no. Being saved by faith means that we should be doing whatever God wants and letting him work in and through us for the sake of others. And so going even a little bit further, you may ask, okay, so what does this all mean for me personally? How do I actively go about living a life of faith and works? Well, unfortunately, that's not something I can really answer for you, because we're all unique. We're all different. And that is actually a really great thing. Sorry. I tried to hold in the cough. It didn't work. There we go. So, as I said, we're all unique, and that is really good. Every one of us is uniquely wired, uniquely placed, and uniquely called to do things for God that only you can do. As an example for myself, what that looked like is I grew up being underprivileged, and I grew up in Los Angeles, really nasty area in Los Angeles where I grew up, and I didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to do things, even for even in the church. I think a lot of people kind of ripped me off because of, I think primarily because what I looked like at the time. Imagine me with like blue hair and like just like spiky, like big spikes. I grew up as a punk, as a metalhead. I think people just kind of took a look at me, and obviously these, there's no hiding these. Oh, you possibly couldn't be used for God. And so, as I said, people written me off, but I think I had one thing that I was really good at. I had one thing that I was kind of uniquely wired for, and that was, I was good at skateboarding. That was the one thing I had. And even going deeper, the way that I'm wired is obviously I'm extreme introvert, quiet, shy. But one place that I did feel comfortable at was at a skate park. I could go up to people, make friends just instantly, doing a few tricks, getting to know each other, and I had no idea that God would actually use this skill for the next, even going from now, I'm still doing it 20 years later. It's, in a way, I kind of offered myself up to God for however he might want to use me when I was a younger Christian. And God used me even in my skateboarding. And fast forward, I went to live in Germany for a while. I taught at a Bible college there and was helping there. And God, I didn't know at the time, but he uniquely placed me to be there to be able to run a skate park ministry. And so he took the way that I was wired, he placed me in an area where the opportunity was there. And he was able to use this thing that a lot of people would say, like, you can't possibly have a skateboard ministry. Why do that? These kids are, a lot, they get often overlooked, seen like there's no value in them, or that they're just kind of thugs or whatever you want to say about them. A lot of people even criticized me because I was doing it. But that's going off notes. I was able to help build a skateboard. I was able to run Bible studies there for many years. And I had the opportunity to speak to kids who would have never stepped foot in a church. And over the course of 10 years, hundreds, if not thousands, of kids got to hear about Jesus. So God can use whatever we have, whatever we're willing to give him. Even something as seemingly insignificant as skateboarding as a skateboard. But for me, that's why I had a skateboard. But what do you have? Where are you placed right now? How is God calling you? As I said, for each of us, it looks different. And that's actually a good thing. And so I would encourage you to offer whatever it is you have to God and let him use you through it. And some of you may be saying, I don't know what that is. That's fine. Pray about it. Ask him. Show him. Or ask him to show you how he can use you. And the great thing is that he will. It may not be in the way that you expect. It may not be in the way others expect for you. But the main thing is that you hear from him and that you are obedient in what he calls you to do.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.